Chapter 1. Chukchi, August 15th. Lucy Brophy crashed into Nathan Active as he passed her office on the second floor of the Chukchi Public Safety Building. She pulled back and told him, "You've got visitors, been waiting 20 minutes." She checked her watch and stuffed a pair of long socks into a bulky purse slung over her shoulder. His office manager and one-time girlfriend seemed a little jumpy. She had, he recalled, an appointment of undisclosed purpose this morning. She had said only that she would be gone for several hours. He had thought of asking what was up, but decided against it. For one thing, it might be something he was better off not knowing as chief of the Chukchi Region Public Safety Department. For another, he'd probably find out anyway. Public safety was an echo chamber. He nodded toward his office, which was next to hers. An elderly Inupiat couple was visible through the window in the door. "What do they want?" "Wouldn't talk to me," they said. "We'll talk to that nice Nalakmiak cop. Adi, so rude. I told them I wasn't sure when you were coming back, but they could wait if they wanted to." She tossed her head. "How's the baby?" "Another ear infection. The clinic put him on amoxicillin, and he's safe in the arms of his doting Anna until I get off. And Grace will be back from Anchorage tonight." Lucy cut her eyes at the visitors and dodged around him. "Good luck. See you after lunch." She disappeared down the hall toward the stairwell. Active walked into his office. The elders sat on orange plastic chairs pulled up to his desk. The woman was perfectly still, with a sweet, empty smile and a vacant gaze fixed on the wall behind his desk. She had silver hair in a bun and a soft, round body. An LED flashlight hung around her neck on a shoelace. Her hands were hidden in the kangaroo pouch of a flowered green atikluk. Her escort was stout, with Coke bottle glasses and the walnut brown, weather-polished skin of an old-time Inupiat hunter who'd spent his life in the sun and wind. He had a silver mustache and goatee and wore an Inupiat pride ball cap with finger marks on the bill. He rose as Active entered. He looked familiar, but it took Active a few moments to pull up the connection. They had crossed paths at a fundraiser for the Isiknak 400 sled dog race, that was it. The man had run dogs himself in a younger day, if Active remembered correctly. His name was Oscar, right? Active put out his hand. "Oscar Liakuk, good to see you." "Aha, Oscar," he said. They exchanged the customary Chukchi single-pump handshake, then Oscar lowered himself back into his chair and put his hand on the woman's arm. "And this my wife, Tommy." She shifted the sweet smile and empty gaze to Active, and he caught a whiff of potent body odor. "She lost her brain a few years ago," Oscar said. "Don't talk no more. I gotta do it for her." Active nodded to the woman and sat down behind his desk. Dementia would explain the smell, he supposed. Perhaps she wouldn't bathe or let anyone else do it for her. Or perhaps it was incontinence. Or both. He stretched out his right leg to ease the burning that had been his constant companion since a bullet had ripped into his thigh the previous fall. "Nice to meet you, Mrs. Liakuk." She gave no sign of hearing. The full, round face was smooth except for creases at the corners of her brown eyes and her smile. Her silver bun was tidy, he noticed, and her clothes were unwrinkled and looked reasonably fresh, none of which seemed to go with hygiene problems and the smell now filling his office. "Looks like you're taking pretty good care of her," he said to Oscar. Tommy began rocking from the waist, forward and back, forward and back. "Yeah, she'd get along okay at home," Oscar said. "She still do her beads, her sewing sometimes, try work her jigsaw puzzle of Jesus in the manger. Our granddaughter come over and cook for us so she don't burn herself." Active tried to think how to work Oscar around to the reason for the visit, but decided to hold off. The quickest way to get an Inupiat elder to the point was usually to wait him out. "So she's in good hands." "Most times..." Oscar studied the floor with an embarrassed look. "Except she'll go out sometimes when we don't know, walk around all night, maybe bring back a souvenir." "A souvenir?" What kind of souvenir? Something she find on the road, on the beach, a button, a bottle, one time false teeth. Oscar chuckled. Active smiled, nodded, and waited. Never bother nobody, Oscar went on. Never get in no trouble. But last night, Oscar's voice trailed off, and he looked at the floor again. Finally, maybe some progress. Did somebody hurt her? Is that why you're here? Active opened his notebook. Nothing like that, but she finds some trouble, all right, Oscar said. Had Tommy taken a souvenir valuable enough to qualify as theft from a vehicle or even someone's house? He pictured himself cuffing Tommy Leacock, fingerprinting her, and locking her up in the Chuck G jail. I'm sure we can straighten it out, he said. What kind of trouble did she find, exactly? Maybe you'll figure out what kind, Oscar said. He looked at the floor, then Active, then the floor again. Just tell me what she found, okay? Active said. She gonna show you. Oscar pulled Tommy's clenched fist out of the pouch of her atikluk and pushed it toward Active. Oscar murmured a few words of Inupiaq into Tommy's ear, and the gnarled brown fingers slowly uncurled to reveal a piece of human jawbone. Active recoiled, recovered, and studied it as he pulled on blue nitrile gloves from a desk drawer. Shreds of gum tissue clung to the jawbone, and a single molar was still in place. The molar had a silver filling, and the jawbone stank, like a rotten fish on a beach. Active lifted the thing from Tommy's palm. She looked at him and said something that sounded like kikituk. Then the empty eyes turned bright, and she giggled like a little girl. Active held the jawbone up, turned it, examined it from end to end, and dropped it into an evidence bag. Where did you... He stopped and turned to Oscar. Where did she find this? Oscar shrugged. No clue. And did she say kikituk? Uh-huh, Oscar said. What them Nalakmiuts call a monster, probably. Most times a dog with a whale head. Big sharp teeth tear you apart. Early days ago, them old Ungakuks, they keep a carving of it around their neck. Send it out at night to kill their enemies. That kikituk give the Ungakuk his power. That's it, Chief? Danny Kavik stared at the jawbone laid out on a sheaf of paper towels on Active's desk blotter. Nothing on where it came from or whose it was? Active shook his head. Nope. Nada. Active's deputy chief pointed at the molar with its filling. At least we know it's human. Which is all we do know. Active returned the jawbone to its bag, which is why God made medical examiners. Maybe Georgianne can identify it from dental records. She's worked miracles before. Or maybe DNA, Kavik said. There was one more thing. Tommy said kikituk when she pulled it out of her atikluk. That mean anything to you? Kavik shrugged. My Inupiaq's pretty rusty. Some kind of mythical... It's a kind of whale-headed dog that the old Ungakuks would... Oh yeah, Kavik said. The kikituk, a shaman's power object. A what? Kavik looked embarrassed. Well, that's what the anthropologists called it. Uh-huh. I have a friend who's doing their graduate thesis on the spiritual beliefs of Arctic indigenous people, and they shared some intel with me, Kavik said. They? Active said. All right. She. She shared it with me. Ah, Active said. And what else might you and this friend be sharing? Kavik flipped him off in a friendly way. Mind your own business, boss. So, Tommy's saying some monster went out and tore somebody up and she found the body and now she's bringing in the pieces? It could mean almost anything, I guess, Active said. Or nothing. Tommy's mind's a blank slate. Maybe she just likes the sound of the word. Why do they let her wander around like that anyway? Kavik asked. Apparently, she sneaks out while they're asleep. Oscar said they tried strapping her to the bed and rigging the door so she couldn't get out, but she got agitated. They thought she might hurt herself, so they make do. Like everybody, I suppose, Kavik said. Active nodded. According to Oscar, she'll get out every few days and eventually wander back again, or a cabbie will bring her home, or Oscar will wake up,
call his granddaughter, and they'll go look for her on his four-wheeler. And he says we've picked her up once or twice. Oh, yeah, Kavik said. I think Alan Long did that once, and another patrol officer a couple of times. Well, see where they found her, huh? Active said. We can check out those locations. Kavik nodded. How about searching the area around her house? How far can an old lady walk? Pretty far, it turns out, Active said. It seems she's a tough old gal, like a lot of the old-timers. So, we might have to cover all 4 square miles of Chukchi, and a lot more than that if she got past the airport and was wandering around the fish camps down in Tent City, or if she got across the Lagoon Bridge and took a stroll on the tundra back there, maybe dug around in the Bluff Cemetery. How'd she get back last night? Kavik asked. A cabbie from Louis, according to Oscar. She's on her way. Active stopped at the sound of footsteps in the stairwell. And here she is now, I'm guessing. After a minute or two, Active realized that Lucy was still out, and no one was outside his office to greet their witness. He opened his door to a stocky figure in jeans, a t-shirt, and a worn black leather jacket. She had a thick hawser of dark hair down her back and wraparound sunglasses in the V of her zipper in front. Chief Active, he said. Thanks for coming in. Girlie Kivalina, she responded in a voice like gravel in a gearbox. He waved her to a seat and introduced Kavik, then settled behind his desk with his notebook out. I understand you picked up Tommy Leacook last night. Can you tell us when that was? This morning? Little past 2, maybe? The cabbie answered. I drop a fare off at the Arctic Inn, then I head home along 3rd. That's when I see Tommy coming toward me there by Sundog Park. She okay? Aka, she sure stink. No, she's fine, Active said. It's just that Oscar's worried about her wandering around like that, and so we're trying to figure out where she goes.
Girlie raised her eyebrows in the Inupiat signal of assent.
Did you ever pick her up before? Sure thing. 3 times last couple months, maybe. I stop, she'll climb in, never say nothing, just hum to herself, and rock back and forth. I take her to their house, wait till she go in, then I leave.
Active nodded.
So, she was walking on 3rd? Did she come out of a building or a house, maybe? No, she's already on the street when I see her. How about the other times?
Girlie stopped for a moment to reflect, then ticked the memories off on her fingers.
First time, maybe a block from her house, then 1 time by the post office and that other time by the Catholic Church. But she never stink like that before.
Active noted it all down.
Thanks for coming in. If you think of something else, you call me, okay? He gave her a card and walked her to the door. And thanks for looking out for Tommy.
Girlie grinned, exposing a gap 2 teeth wide in her bottom jaw.
We ladies gotta take care of each other, huh? Especially if it's an Anna.
She left, and Kavik pulled up a satellite map of Chukchi on his laptop. He cursored around for a second, then zoomed in on the area between Sundog Park and the Leacook home on Caribou Way.
There must be at least 50 structures between Oscar's place and where Girlie picked her up, Kavik said. Not to mention a block-long park and the 3rd Street Cemetery, Active said.
So how do we find the body?
Active thought for a moment. First thing, you take Alan Long and check that cemetery to make sure kids or dogs or something haven't opened up one of the graves, and the Bluff Cemetery, too, while you're at it.
Got it, Kavik said.
And let's tell Patrol to keep an eye out for Tommy. If they spot her, they're to follow her around unless they get a call.
Active tapped the jawbone in its bag.
Meanwhile, we ship this thing off to George Ann, and then we wait.